Welcome to the Federation, by Mark Onspow, read by Ian McMillan. Gerd Mackel was dreaming of happier times when the loud, shrill alarm of his happy-toned clock radio assaulted him into wakefulness. Gerd had owned 10 clock radios in his life, and the first 9 had been sensible enough to break when he hurled them across the room. The happy tone merely bounced off the wall and continued to bray at him. It seemed indestructible. His assistant, Huri, had selected it on the basis of durability when she had purchased the cursed thing at Galmark, where the galaxy shops. Gerd rubbed his eyes and got out of bed, gasping when his bare feet hit the cold floor. The heat was out again. Gerd sighed and shambled to the bathroom, mentally going over his agenda for the coming day. The bathroom faucets belched brown water for a good 3 minutes before clearing. The water got progressively colder, even though Gerd had the hot tap turned up as far as it would go. Gerd cursed the plumbing, something that had become a morning ritual, then splashed cold water on his face. He desperately wanted a shower, but was afraid the frigid water might give him a heart attack. He tried shaving, but his Galmart Shavatron 5000 shorted out with a spectacular burst of sparks and smoke. He settled for splashing his face with the aftershave his son Naul had sent him for the blessing of the Fish and Waters Festival last year. It was a scent called Starduster, and it burned his face. Gerd put on his suit and chose a clip-on tie from a rack in the closet. He had never mastered the art of tying damn things. Traditionally, the men of Kovala had kept their neck and chest bare to show that they were honest and that their twin hearts beat true. That was before the visits from the Federation of Worlds and the Kragash Empire. Kovala, a tiny planet in an unremarkable system, had never had visitors from other worlds, let alone two massive collectives that spanned whole galaxies. The Federation of Worlds had been founded by Earth, and a handful of sentient worlds long before Gerd's great-great-great-grandfather had been born. Because the founding worlds were on opposite sides of the galaxy, Kovala had been ignored for millennia. Then, the Kragash Empire had conquered a neighbouring galaxy known to the Kovalans as Ba'ul Ahuhian, or the Great Ore of Ba'ul. This region was known to the Federation as the Large Magellanic Cloud, and to the Kragash as the Kragashian Birthright. Running low on races to subdue and abuse, the conquest-happy Kragash had been looking to expand their empire, and their reptilian eyes had fallen on Kovala. Once the Kragash Empire began making overtures, the Federation of Worlds decided they were interested in Kovala as well. Both groups sent dignitaries and presents. Both sides told the Kovalans how important they were. As a welcoming gesture, Gerd's grandfather Moore had led the boats out and caught a giant tren, a meaty fish, large enough to feed the village and the dignitaries. Both sides seemed to appreciate the feast, though much of their portions of tren was later found in napkins stashed under the table. Both seemed to enjoy the traditional dancing and entertainment, though the waiting staff later revealed that the Federation representative had actually been asleep, and the Kragashian was surreptitiously playing something called a video game. The Kovalans were good-natured and forgiving people, and they shrugged off these insults. Their world was pleasant, the seas were bountiful, and they loved sharing. If only we had been a little meaner, thought Gerd. His car was still in the shop, so Gerd waited for the bus to take him from the presidential palace to his office. In his great-grandfather's time, all had lived in open huts on the beach. The leader, selected by rotation, showed his or her temporary position by hanging a white shell in the entrance. Gerd missed living on the beach. He missed the scent of the ocean, the cool breezes and light rains that soothed and lulled you to deep and restful sleep. He missed racing out to the boats in the morning, bringing in the catch and laughing, singing and dancing into the night. Most of all, he missed making masks and costumes for the festivals and sagas by Avatar. He had been very good at it before the Federation had banned such festivals as uncivilized. They'd appointed him president for life after his father died. The bus arrived belching smoke, and Gerd greeted the driver and the other passengers. Nobody smiled at him. They blamed him for all the changes that had come to Gavala. Gerd sighed and took a seat near the back. It was a half-hour ride to New Paris, and he had forgotten both his paper and book of crossword puzzles. The bus went along Coastal Route 24, a four-lane highway that the Federation had built to replace the first Federation road, a two-lane thoroughfare they had named Seafront Road. In pre-Federation time, it had been a small and lovely path called Mino Ulkiwala, or the trail Mino the Sea God took to court Mother West Wind. You couldn't see much of the ocean anymore. The clear areas had become the sites of barracks for a proposed Federation base. The enormous base had been half completed when war had broken out near Antares and all available Federation soldiers and engineers had gone to fight the good fight. Gerd's son Noel was out there somewhere, fighting with the other 15 young men and women deemed draftable by the Federation infantry. Gerd wiped his eyes, thinking of Noel. In the old days, the boy would have been married, and he and his wife would be part of the leader rotation. Noel would steer his own boat and invite his parents over for tren and palm wine. Noel's departure for the Federation war had been the last straw with Asd, Gerd's wife. The moment her son had shipped out, Asd had moved back to the other side of the cove with her mother and younger brothers. A presidential palace, even a tiny one, is a very lonely place without a wife. Gerd wished for the 1,000th time that he could go back in time and advise his grandfather Fu not to join the Federation. They might have been conquered by the Gregash, but Gerd wondered if that would be any worse. The bus arrived in New Paris, a collection of dun-coloured buildings built around a central square. In the square was a statue of Gerd's grandfather Fu, shaking hands with Colonel Benjamin Breckinridge, the first Federation member to set foot in Kavala. Gerd had always thought the sculptor had taken liberties, making Breckinridge look godlike while his grandfather looked doddering and servile. He noted that someone had thrown eggs at the statue again. Gerd thanked the driver and got off the bus. A balled-up candy wrapper hit him on the back of the head, but he didn't turn round. The office of Kavalan Administration and Enforcement was directly across from the spattered statue. It was marked from the other buildings by a large and stylized shell of purest white nacre, a touch that the Federation architect thought honored the tradition of the Kavalans, but which most locals found ostentatious and vulgar. Huri, his assistant, was at her desk when he arrived. She smiled when she saw him, then clucked her tongue and stood up. Crossing to him with a small shake of her head, she straightened his clip-on tie. "Can't even master this child's formal wear," Gerd said. "You have one of the most honest and handsome chests in all of Kavala," she said. "You should be able to bear it properly." "Federation dress code," he began. "Federation dress code," she repeated with venom. "Designed by pale, recycled air breathers." Gerd admired Huri's fire. She was one of the few who hadn't made him the planetary scapegoat. "Anything pressing?" he asked. 5 more calls for you to go back where you came from." Gerd's family had helped settle the planet Kavala many millennia before, when the great god Pa'ul had guided their skyships to this new world. It was so long ago that Kavalans had lost the technology necessary for interstellar exploration. It didn't matter. They had always had just what they needed. Gerd's ancestor, Ma'alu, had been the pilot of the very first ship. That Gerd was now perceived as some Federation mole and sycophant was ridiculous and hurtful. Anyone important wishing to deport me?" "The Minister of Fishing and..." She hesitated, not wanting to hurt him. Go ahead, Yuri. I'm getting used to being unpopular. And your mother? He shook his head. How can my own mother accuse me of being a Federation shill? She theorizes the Federation took her real son and left you in his crib. She says... Yuri paused, her eyes now a bit moist. He motioned for her to continue. She says no son of hers would send his only son and the youth of Kovala to fight in a distant war that has nothing to do with us. Gerd had to answer for that one. He merely nodded and went into his office with the tall windows that looked out over the statue of his much-despised grandfather. He spent the first part of the morning going over various reports and complaints. A study by a student marine biologist showed that the Tren population was in decline, largely because of pollutants from the two power plants the Federation had constructed near the beaches. Gerd's grandfather had been among those who had said that the Kovalans did not need a power plant, let alone two, but the Federation execs had smiled knowingly and continued bulldozing Mylan Palms. The student hoped her report would be forwarded to the Federation Council on Indigenous Fish and Game. Gerd smiled sadly at her youthful enthusiasm. Had he ever been that young, that full of fire and passion? Of course he had. He put a report into a subspace packet to Outer Worlds Administration, knowing it would never be read. At least, he could tell her honestly that it had been sent. The sanitation workers were on strike, largely because they resented cleaning up after everybody else. In the old days, each Kovalan was responsible for the area in and around his hut, and had a stretch of beach 5 feet wide. In this way, the villages and oceanfront stayed clean and free of parasites. Now, many Kovalans seemed to follow the Federation example, which was to leave your trash wherever you felt like it. Gerd sighed. In the old days, everything had been biodegradable. There had been no need for landfills and dumps. In fact, the Kovalans had no words for such things, and now had to use the Fedlak equivalents. Gerd started to read a report of children playing in the partially completed Federation base, when he felt his breathing become restricted and a familiar pain in his chest. It had happened enough that he now recognised it as mere anxiety, what the Federation doctor had called a panic attack. The doctor prescribed Relax, a sedative carried at Galmart. Gerd, like many of his generation, was the first in his family to take any sedative other than warm Ulunut juice. Gerd checked to make sure Yuri wasn't watching, then popped two Relax from a bottle he had hidden in his desk under a spare shirt and clip-on. Once his heart rate had slowed and he was breathing normally, he told Yuri to put a call through to the Galactic Administration Annex on Munbara 4. A graphic showed a small silver sphere, his call being routed and bounced from department to department as he attempted to reach someone higher up the galactic ladder. At last, the Gerd sphere stopped at a box labelled Outer Commerce, Curios and Vending Machines. The box then resolved into a frowning meal from N3. The N were a race utterly lacking in compassion, which some thought made them ideal bureaucrats and loan officers. Gerd knew this because Yuri had gotten him a used copy of A Child's Guide to the Founding Worlds of the Federation by Uckel and Crockett. Gerd's office had been due for a whole slew of information on the other worlds of the Federation, but then war had broken out with Regil, and his world was deemed too close to the Kragash Empire for such sensitive information. Still, the children's book had been helpful. It had told him that it would be easier to dance naked on the surface of the sun than to get an to smile or laugh. "How can I help you, Governor Mackle?" The liked to preface all surnames with their own. An old saying went, "Everybody follows the and we mean everybody." "Sir, I'm not sure why I was transferred to you. I've been dealing with the Bureau of Outer Worlds and Independent Plutoids." "Have you been paying the taxes on sales of your indigenous arts and crafts?" "No, we haven't sold any arts and crafts since initial contact." The N scanned a screen with one of its eye stalks, while the other kept a baleful gaze on Gerd. "I see here that Kovala still owes 37 fed creds in taxes from the sale of a clay pot during initial contact." I believe that was leftovers from our welcoming feast that we gave to Colonel Breckinridge, so that was a gift. Mm-hmm. The checked more records. My records indicate that Colonel Breckinridge said he paid 500 Fed creds for that pot. It's on his expense report. Well, he was lying. My great-grandmother gave him a pot she had received from her great-grandmother when she was a girl. It was quite old and cherished by my family. I'm sure it was, said the his expression indicating that he was either growing bored or suffering from dyspepsia. Still, if you feel the report was in error, your people should have filed a complaint immediately. How could we? This is the first we've heard of it. The shook his head. My records indicate much of your earliest records took the form of songs and puppet shows. We call them Saga by Avatar. I'm sure you do. Isn't it likely you people lost some of valuable records over the years when some puppet went missing or the puppeteer died? Our records have always been impeccable. In fact, we didn't have any trouble until the Federation insisted we go to computers. So you did have trouble. Gerd realized he had walked into a bureaucratic language trap. That's not what I meant. Did you have trouble with the initial computer switchover, or not? Well, yes, but I can assure you that fines and penalties bring the current balance to... The did some calculating. 800,530,027 Fed creds. Gerd gaped at him. If they sold the planet and everything on it, they could not raise such a sum. Sir, there is no way. Will there be anything else, Governor Mackle? I need to speak to the person responsible for the construction of Federation troop bases. Now the N's eyes narrowed in suspicion. Why? Because those half-completed eyesores are ruining our view, and the power plants supplying them with unneeded power are polluting our waters, and the buildings erected for us native Kovalans have neither clean water nor adequate heat, which we wouldn't need if your rape of our planet hadn't altered the freaking climate. It was the first time in years he had dared to tell a Federation official what he really thought. Governor Mackle, there's a war on. You're just not that important. The terminated the call. Gerd picked up a lucite paperweight that had been Colonel Breckinridge's gift to Gerd's grandfather. It was a model of the ship Breckinridge had come down in, and was made in some exotic locale known as Hallmark. Gerd threw it across the room. It broke a window with a cacophonous din and sealed into the square. From the clanging he heard, Gerd assumed he had hit the statue. Huri came running in, sure he had jumped out the window. Gerd looked at her, face red, twin hearts pumping. Huri, get me the Kragash Empire. It took Huri 2 hours to get the call through. Varv Smengsh, pain giver, first class, of the Imperial Kragashian fleet, appeared on the screen. 3 of his eyes had patches over them, each bearing a medal. The other 6 eyes regarded Gerd, and then broke into a smile, filled with file-sharpened teeth and viscous saliva. Gerd! Gerd Mackle! How are you, you old fish-fondler? It was the politest term the Kragash had for Kovalans. Pretty good, Varv Smegnsh. Ah, call me Shmengshi, old buddy. Okay, Shmenshki. Congratulations on making Paingiver first class. Well, it's mostly an honorary title these days. What can I do for you, Gerd? We changed our minds. I beg your pardon? We revoke the Federation Charter. We want the Kragash Empire to invade. Is this a joke, Gerd? No, sir. We want the Kragash to step on our backs as they establish a foothold in this quadrant. Varv Smengsh looked down a minute, embarrassed. When he looked up, Gerd could see he had flushed a deep lavender. Gerd, we don't do that anymore. Conquer, I mean. What? We had an epiphany. Some guy, famous, lots of teeth, went through our system about 10 years ago with this religion called the Nicesties. You know, stuff like, it's nice to be nice to the nice. I don't understand. It took... Varv Smengsh exclaimed. I still don't know how. In fact,
Every time I try to wrap my head round it, I get a splitting headache. One of those up-all-night drinking fermented Dacker pancreas kind of headaches. Barbsmensch winced and rubbed his temples. But it works! We returned all our conquered worlds to an autonomous status, and have spent the last 5 years knitting hats and gloves for various harvest festivals around our quadrant. Gerd pleaded with him. Just tell the Federation you've taken over. Tell them we're part of the Kragashian Empire. No can do, my fish-fondling friend. Nicety 84. It's not nice to lie, so don't even try.
Gerd sighed.
Okay, I understand. Hey, Gerd, do you guys still make that appetizer with a strip of cutter meat wrapped in a myelin nut?
No. Federation took our cutters to Antares and chopped down all the myelin palms.
Too bad. I loved those things.
You can get something similar at Galmart, part of their almost-like-home-world cooking line of frozen foods.
Galmart? Varv Schmengsch made a face. Last time I ate something there, they had to pump out my nutrient sacks.
Gerd nodded, grateful to talk to a friend. A friend, it's true, who had once promised to roast Gerd's hearts with his death dealer and eat them still popping and smoking, but a friend nevertheless. As they were saying their goodbyes, Gerd had an idea.
Hey, Schmenschke.
Yeah?
You guys used to threaten us with tales of the Ptak. What were they like?
Varv Schmensch went pale.
The Ptak?
Trust me, Gerd. You don't want to have anything to do with them. The call from Kavala started at Outer Commerce, Curios and Vending Machines, then was bounced to Outer Worlds Administration, and was deflected, hurriedly, and with many blanched and pale faces, to the offices of Star Command, Federation Fleet Admiral Benjamin Breckenridge IV. Various generals and admirals from the founding worlds were rounded up into the main conference room. The Kovalan emissary and the Federation ambassador to Kovala were both summoned, and there was a monumental outburst of swearing from Breckenridge when it was discovered that neither post existed. The fleet's finest took their seats, and the west wall became a translucent screen. The call from Kovala was put through. Accounts differ on the initial reaction to the first glimpse of Gxx, ruler of Ptak. Some claim that several of the top brass fled from the room, some to be physically sick, and others to hide while they wept like little babies. Other reports say that the military men and women stood their ground, exclaiming slogans once attributed to Captain John Paul Jones.
I have not yet begun to fight.
And General Anthony McAuliffe.
Nuts!
It is agreed that Breckenridge himself stayed in his chair. Whether he soiled himself is still a matter of debate. Regardless, the screen showed the ruler of the Ptak at the desk of Governor Gerd Mackel. No one had ever seen a Ptak, and it was later agreed that they were one of the ugliest races ever. Face like Ptak became an insult on hundreds of worlds. Members of the Federation of Worlds spat. We of the Ptak infestation claim Kovala as our world. It is our first foray into your loathsome quadrant, and we will be studying the local indigenous bipedal vertebrates to determine the most effective means of torture and the most painful method of harvesting their organs for snack cakes and children's toys. Anyone who opposes us will meet the fate of Gerd Mackel, their pitiful excuse of a leader. And with that, Kss-Kss held up Gerd's smoking, severed head and shook it at the viewers. Gerd's expression was one of dull surprise. Then the screen went black. The room erupted into an uproar of righteous indignation and more catchy phrases. Gerd Mackel was reaching to shut off his clock radio when the presidential palace began to shake. Gerd assumed that Mu-u-aha, the volcano goddess, was making herself heard after many centuries of silence. He and Huri went out into the front lawn. The sky was black, but not with smoke. Warships and cruisers of every type filled the skies. Gerd's neighbours fled back into their homes, sure that someone meant to put poor Kovala out of its misery. Several shuttles began to land on the lawn.
"You burned that mast, didn't you?" he asked Hughie.
"Yes."
"And your poor severed head. That's what really gave me the creeps," Hughie said.
Admiral Benjamin Breckinridge IV was the first to step out onto Gerd's lawn, squishing some hagoo lilies in the process.
"I'm here for the Ptah," he said menacingly, holding both the ceremonial sword and the phasing blast pistol.
His first words had been carefully crafted on the journey to Kovala, beating out, "Show yourselves, alien scum," and "Who wants some?"
"As soon as they saw you coming, they ran," said Gerd nervously. A victory cry went up, cut short when Breckinridge raised his hand.
"Guess who might you be?"
"Gerd Mackle, brother of the late governor," Gerd said.
"I thought the dead governor was Gerd Mackle," said Breckinridge, puzzled.
All my brothers are named Gerd Mackle."
Admiral Breckinridge nodded paternally, accustomed to the simple ways of indigenous people out on the wrong arm of the galaxy. It was the shortest won victory in Federation history, and one of the most lasting. The Federation did face a PR nightmare when reporters, conservationists, and Federation-founding philanthropists demanded to know who had polluted Kovala's once blue sea and skies, who had blighted the landscape, and who was accountable for the lack of clean hot water at the Sheraton Galacticus. Gerd saved the Federation's bacon by claiming all these ills were the result of the cruel and inhuman Ptah infestation. As a gesture of goodwill, the Federation forgave the Kovalans their long-standing debt and pledged to keep the tiny world safe. The citizens of the Federation cried for poor Kovala to be restored to its pristine state, and the government was quick to oblige. The first building to go was the Galmark,
where are the galaxy shops?
And many Kovalans not only volunteered, but paid to be on the demolition team. Within 3 years, all traces of Ptah and infestation had been removed. The seas were almost clean, and the Tren were again plentiful. By this time, war had broken out in the Sagittarian phalanx, and the Federation could not afford to leave personnel behind to watch for the return of the hated Ptah. Gerd's suggestion to bring home the sons and daughters of Kovala for this important task was quickly embraced. It was a proud day for Gerd when his son Nul was appointed captain of the Federation fleet, Kovalan Theatre. When the final Federation ships left Kovala, they were heavily laden with chunks of concrete, clock radios and 10-speed blenders, frozen cocktail wieners and underarm deodorant. That was the day the Kovalans held the feast of the burning of the neckties. The crying of his son Fu woke Gerd Mackle. He went to the child's crib and picked him up. "How about a walk on the beach, little guy?" he asked. Fu cooed and gargled that this was a peachy idea. Gerd kissed his son's head and took him out, careful not to hit his head on the white shell hanging at the entrance of his hut. Temporary Chief Hughie was out on the beach, discussing the coming Feast of Plenty with some of the elders. She waved and blew her husband and baby a kiss. After the Federation had left, the people asked Gerd to consider becoming chief for the remainder of his life. He politely refused and recommended the rotation be reinstated. When it was proposed a statue be erected in his honour, he instead asked that an offering be made to the sea on behalf of the 3 men and women who had been lost in the Antarian conflict. Nowadays, Kovala's only contact with the Federation was a coded report the reigning chief had to send in once a month, a report that said, "All is well." Declared a primitive cultural treasure by the Department of Vacations, Cruises and Xenomorbidity, Kovala was declared off-limits to all tourists and travelling sales entities. Gerd was able to get a special exemption for Varv Smench and his family, who loved to lay on the beach and fish for tren with Gerd and his son Nul. Gerd told his good old friend Smenjki that they were always welcome, as long as they left their religious pamphlets and tracts at home with their pre-nasty pain-givers and molar extractors. And to most of the Federation, Kovala was just too far away and at the wrong end of the galaxy And that was the way Gerd liked it. Now he gazed out at the sea, his baby warm and snug in his arms. "Remember, Foo," he said, kissing the babbling baby's head. "In the galactic scheme of things, it's good to be important, but not too important." That was Welcome to the Federation by Mark Onspar, read by Ian McMillan.